And welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Eulalie Wickham-Ashby. And as usual, I try to find interesting, exciting, and really super people to have conversations with. And today is no different. I am in the wonderful company of Janelle Skinner, a beautiful young lady who I will say needs to share her story over and over and over, and even go so far as to write a book, Janelle. So welcome to Visions, Janelle.
Good afternoon, Eulalie. Thank you so much for that warm welcome. It's good to be here.
Okay, so Janelle, I have known you a few years, and I have heard your story, but as I said, I think it's a story that needs to be shared. So tell us a little about yourself. Let the world hear, who is Janelle Skinner?
Well, Janelle Skinner is, I'm a sister, I'm a niece, I'm an aunt, I am a friend, I am a daughter. But most importantly, I am a female with a disability. About 24 years ago, I was diagnosed with as a paraplegia. And I am paralyzed from my chest down, which means that I have no ability to use my legs. And that happened while I resided in the U.S. And since then, I came back to Barbados, and now I am employed, going 21 years now at one of Barbados's leading retail companies, Massey Barbados Limited. I have a master's degree in counseling psychology, and I am now registered as a counseling psychologist. And so in a nutshell, I think that's a few things about me, Eulalie.
Right. Now, you touched a little about acquiring your disability approximately 24 years ago. Can you tell us a little more in detail about how that occurred and then how you coped with it?
When I tell my story, I don't think much people don't usually believe it, because when I say one minute I was standing, I sat and then never got back up. I don't think people can envision that, you know, something so severe can happen so easily. But I was doing what I loved then, and that was doing hair. I loved to braid. That was my passion. So I was braiding hair. I didn't feel well. Decided to sit. I even had a cup of tea, because you know how we usually think when you're not feeling well, maybe something warm would, you know, help you feel a little bit better. And I thought I did, honestly. So when I finished drinking the tea, I attempted to stand up, and I recognized, well, you know, I can't feel my legs. As usual, the others thought I was kidding, because that was who I was. I used to make a lot of sport. But then they recognized I started panicking. My face started turning blue. My lips were swollen. And I was rushed to the hospital. 2 days later, after 10 hours of surgery, then I learned that I had a spinal tumor that had to be removed. And that resulted in the loss of use of limbs and paralysis.
Okay. How would you say you coped initially, and what is it like now for you emotionally?
It was hard. It was extremely hard at first, because I was coming from a place where I was young. I was 21 years old, and I was in the prime of my life, because, you know, and I was where I wanted to be, in the States. And that meant that I had to rely solely then on those persons around me. And those persons were family members and very close friends. When I first, in the first few weeks when I was, when I had acquired a disability, I couldn't use my hands. And that was something that, you know, that drained me emotionally, physically, psychologically, because as I mentioned before, I used to braid hair. And braiding hair, I had to use my hands. So I came from that, then I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't scratch my nose. I couldn't wipe my tears. I had to rely on persons to do that for me. And that was tough. Throughout the weeks, my, you know, the ability to use my hands came back. And I was thankful for that. I came back to Barbados then, and I attempted to start doing hair again, but that was so challenging because, you know, we're accustomed, and if you're accustomed getting your hair done usually, you know that you are usually sitting below the individual who would be performing the task. So now I had to be sitting, and that person had to be like actually on the floor or lower down, so that they could accommodate me so I could provide the service. And that was challenging. It was challenging also because I had a back injury. And we know that braiding and stuff, is you're up long hours. And that started to take a toll on me. So when I made the money from braiding, I had to go spin it back at the doctor. That wasn't making any sense. So I applied to Da Costa Mannings, now Matthew Stores, Barbados Limited. And thankfully, I got employed there. And my role there then was customer service representative. And I started there. And then gradually throughout the years, then, you know, I recognized there's a need for me to improve myself. And when I say improve myself, I mean by ways, a means of education. Because if I wanted to achieve other things in life, I figured out that's the stepping stone. That, you know, that's the foundation for me to evolve. And I pursued then my studies. First at St. James Secondary School, at University School of Continuing Studies, at the Polytechnic, then Polytechnic. And then I went on to the University of the West Indies.
Okay. So tell us a little more about your studies and underscore, really stress the need for us as individuals to continually educate ourselves, whether it is via academics or vocational, you know, skills development type of technical training. I think it's so critical for us to continually uplift and upgrade our skills. What difference would you say that made to you?
I agree with you, Yudeli, because we know times are changing. What may have been required of me, say, 20 years ago when I joined Da Costa Mannings, they are expecting more of me now. And, you know, and for me personally, I did not want to be in the same position as in, you know, doing the same thing that I would have done when I went into the Costa Mannings at that stage. If I am doing that 20 years later, that means that I haven't done anything with myself. I'm not developing myself. And I did not want that. I did not want that. You know, I think sometimes persons with disabilities, we tend to limit ourselves. You know, we tend to look at others and think that, you know, it's impossible for us to achieve that. But how would we know unless we try, you know? And whether it is, my story is, yes, that I went to university. Some person's story could be, you know, that they learn engineering, that they learn, you know, they learn to be an auto mechanic. They can do body work. They can do, you can do what you put your mind to do. If you know you have a skill set, build on it. You may build on it and you may be surprised. That may take you in so many different directions. You may not necessarily stay in the same, within that same focus that you may have started. Because I started in customer service. I would have never guessed that I'll be in counseling.
Yes.
Yeah. So throughout the years, as you develop, you find that you find different things to focus on. And when you focus on them and you are intentional in what you want to achieve, just you know, to continue down that path. Just continue down that path.
Yes. Janelle, I must say publicly that I am so happy and proud. I'm happy for you and I'm very proud of you for striving and just making things happen for yourself, your family, your friends, and strangers. I'm really, really proud of you and your latest accomplishment, your master's degree in counseling psychology, and not only doing it, but registering now as a psychologist counselor. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you so much, Italy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. No, Janelle, in, you know, recovering from surgery, recognizing that you have paraplegia and had difficulty in using your hands, being unable to use your hands and feet initially, working, studying, we all need support. And I know that your family is one of your biggest supporters. So tell us what that looks like for you, having your family, your mom, your brothers, your aunts and nieces and cousins and everybody so involved in your life and give you that encouragement and support. Tell us what that is like for you.
Well, we know that having a family member with a special, you know, special needs or with a disability can have a significant impact on the whole family. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first acquired my disability, I knew it was something new to them. It's because I am the first person within the family that had a physical disability. So we were all now in new waters. We had to chart new waters. But what I will say about my family, they have taught me the true meaning of resilience. They have taught me that, because there were times when I would say, I just can't. And, you know, I would hear my mother in the background saying, but you can. And just tell me, you know, how I can help you. And let's go from there. There were things, simple things, usually simple things. And it's not the big ones. It's the simplest things that used to always, you know, make me cry or, you know, make me experience a period of sadness and stuff. And those simple things, once I knew that my family was there for me, and not only my family, I have some friends that are cheerleaders, I mean, out of this world. And they were the persons who would say to me, but do you know how much of an inspiration you are to others? And I have to remind them that, you know, you guys are my inspiration, because those who inspired me, inspiration also. But my family always, well, not always, but majority of the time, they would always encourage me to not to give up, take on a new task, find another way to do something. You know, I remembered when I wanted to drive, my mother said to me, and her words are always in my, I almost lose you already. I don't want to lose you again. You better stay put. But then I had my brother and my stepfather who were there saying, okay, so you got to learn to drive. What you got to get? You research a vehicle already? So when one person or two persons were there kind of skeptical, you know, I don't know if you should, I still had others telling me, go for it. You know, you could do it. So lovely. It is that, yeah, it is that kind of system that I believe, really, they are the reasons I am the person that I am today. And because they were able to take a lot of like stressful situations, they were able to, you know, diffuse them and let me know it is okay, but just know we are here. We got you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you drive, Janelle. So that leads me to asking you, what does mobility look like for you? How do you move around? How do you really go from your home to work to social outings to meetings? You know, tell us, partying.
I was just going to say that. My friends will tell you I like to be free. I like to be free. I can recall there were times when I had to rely on my family members and friends to take me places, to do simple things like going to the bank, you know, taking me to the bank transaction, or, you know, going to the supermarket. But it is not all the time that you want persons, you know, in your space. It's not all the time that you want persons to be involved in everything that you're doing. So it came to a point in time when I decided, okay, I am thankful for your help. I appreciate that you guys want to help. But I think I am at the point in my life where I can help myself a little bit more. So after I acquired my driver's license, I was excited. I was ecstatic. Then I decided, though, I needed a vehicle. So now I drive, you know, and when I'm in office, I drive myself to and from work. Thankfully, I found a vehicle where the passenger seat becomes a mobile chair. So it extends and I roll off the ramp, and I use that chair to maneuver as a power chair to maneuver wherever I'm going. Mm-hmm. And that really, that is the best feeling someone can ever have with this disability. An individual who came from having to rely on persons to take them everywhere, for me now to be saying, do you want to go with me as opposed to, are you going with them? You know?
Right.
I go through the door now, I take up my keys, and my mother is like, are you driving? And this is the same lady, usually, who was afraid of me getting on the road, getting behind the wheel. So for mm-hmm. me, mobility, it encourages independence.
Yes.
It encourages independence. Not only that, it has boosted my self-esteem to another level, because I feel so good about myself that I can get up and help myself do things that one time I had to rely on others to do for me.
Mm-hmm. I can identify with your feelings, Janelle, because only this afternoon, only today, I was sharing with a colleague how exhilarating it was when I ran a good distance with someone tethered to me. And it was like, wow. It was freedom. It was just feeling the wind on me. Oh, it was glorious.
I can appreciate
and understand your feeling of ecstasy and excitement and independence and everything. Good. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, Janelle, you would have had to really do a lot to transition from, you know, being independent, working for yourself.
Yes.
And then, you know, becoming a quadriplegic, being rehabilitated, and finding yourself again. And what propelled you to have the desire to continue working? Because some people would have given up and said, well, I can't do this. I have to rely on others to assist me.
Usually, I like nice things. Let me start here.
Okay.
I like to have my own money. Because, okay, I was working from, I would say, 16, because my mother used to braid hair before, and she taught me how to do hair. So on weekends and afternoons and stuff, I would braid neighborhood kids' hair. And then it came to a point in time where I had a clientele that was so large that by Friday, 5 o'clock on mornings, I had to be up, and that would take me sometime to like 12 o'clock at night. And I had persons coming from all over Barbados coming to get their hair done. So when I came from that space, when I'm making my own money, to a space now where I had to depend on the others to buy stuff for me, and money was not flowing then. My mother had she was a shop assistant. My father was not around. My stepdad was there, but he's self-employed. So therefore, money was not flowing. I didn't have abundance of cash. So I wanted to help myself. I wanted to take that burden of my mother and my stepdad, and by extension, my grandmother. But not only that, I thought it was important for me as an individual with a disability, not to just stay stagnant and pity myself, because I knew within myself I could do more. I wanted to do more. And I think a combination of myself, driving myself along with the encouragement from my family, that is what propelled me to be the person that I am today.
Wonderful.
I'm not saying it was easy, Yudli. It was not easy, but I tried so hard. I remember the difficult times, but I am thankful that I don't dwell on them.
Well, as you talk about difficult times, what was the experience like starting out as in the customer service department at the Costas Manning? How did you find customers, clients responded to you? Did they, open their eyes wide when they realized that you were in a wheelchair?
Some of them did. When I first started, I started in an office setting, so it was not in the store where I was face to face with customers. But throughout the years, then I transitioned from just being in the office space then to being in the store, interacting and engaging with customers more. And it gets me every time when I have a telephone conversation with a customer, and then they have to physically come see me. And the first thing that I would hear them say is, "But you didn't tell me you were in a wheelchair."
Yes.
As though it's like our conversation would have changed. Our interaction would have been different. And I'm like, so I didn't know that telling you I was in a wheelchair would have made a difference. But then being in store, when I see persons, they see me in store interacting with others, people are surprised because the expectation of a person with a disability is that you're supposed to look fat. You're supposed to be, a kind of depressed. You're not supposed to be, and they describe me as bubbly. I get customers come up to me and said, "Oh my God, you are here laughing. You're just laughing. You're enjoying yourself. I keep up because I love your spirit." Kids say to me, "You don't look like some person who's supposed to be in a wheelchair." And you see, that's the perception that we have created. See, because when you have small children coming to me and saying, "You don't look like you're supposed to be in that chair," then what perception have we created in these small minds?
Yes. One of helpless people who are depressed and need to be kept in the background. So that Janelle prompts me to ask you, how then do you navigate the prejudices, the discrimination, the stigma that you experience in at the individual level?
Usually, I'm the perfect person for them, to be honest. And at first, I would accept things, little subtle things, not anything major. I would just let it pass by and try not to get too annoyed. Even if I'm annoyed, you wouldn't know. But now I am at the stage in my life now where I am not going to allow it. If I have to say something, for you to recognize that what you're doing is not right, I will say it. Unfortunately, you know, there aren't many persons out there like myself that will do it. But I have resigned now to the fact that I am not going to let other persons make me feel uncomfortable. Not if I can say something about it.
That's the right attitude. Mm-hmm. Well, Jill, let's just switch back quickly to work. And what, because quite often when we talk about employment of people with disabilities, mm-hmm. the reasonable accommodation comes into play as well. And that is very individualistic because the same accommodations you may require, I definitely may not require.
Right,
how
correct.
Mm-hmm. How was that for you? How did, your workplace accommodated you? Were you able to directly tell them what you required?
Yes, I did. When I first got the call that they were going to place me at a location, the first thing that the then human resource manager asked was, what do you require of us? That was the first thing that she asked. And I remembered going to a site visit where I met with he was in the maintenance department there, and he put down a ramp. They made sure that when I went into the office space, I was able to maneuver well. At one point, I can recall that the doorknobs was a little bit high for me, and reaching the door and pulling the door, because then at that time I used a manual chair, and it was challenging for me because when I pulled the hinge at the top, I don't remember what it was, too tight. And I couldn't, the door would either pull me forward, or when I'm trying to come through the door, it would actually push me back. So it was, and they sent a guy from maintenance to adjust the doorknob to make sure that they had a good height. They made sure that the door closure, they made sure that the tension on it was just right for me. My desk, the carpenter came, he raised my desk. I couldn't get upstairs for to the lunchroom. My office had a fridge. I had a tea station. So these small little things, they looked at the small things, but they also looked at the major things, which would have been a hindrance for me, like accessing the building, accessing the bathroom, and being able to maneuver in the bathroom. With the handrails, the liquid soap, all those things, those small things that sometimes people overlook. I was able to meet with them and we went through those things one by one. So by the time I went into the workspace, I was comfortable.
Excellent. And we have to say, hats off to Massey, previously Massey. The Buster Mannings. Really being an equal employer. Well, Janelle, time has surely caught up with us. You see, when you're having wonderful conversations like this, it's really, difficult to recognize time has gone by. But it truly has been a blessing chatting with you. And thank you for also inspiring me and encouraging me as well. So thanks for being on Vision.
Thank you so much, Judy. I did enjoy being here and look forward to being here again.
No problem. I'll hold you to that. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby, and my very special guest, Janelle Skinner. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me on visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, Love yourself and love your neighbor like you love yourself. Ciao.